Things you must know for machine learning. To be successful with machine learning, you must have the right tools in order to work. Just like if you were building a house, you would need the skills and the tools required. The following is a list of required materials to do machine learning. Data. To start working with your data, you have to have enough data to break it into two categories: training data and test data. Training data is the data you use in the beginning when you are building your model. When you are first creating your model, you need to give it some data to learn from. With training data, you will already know the independent variables as well as their respective dependent variables. This means that for every input, you will already know the output of your data. From this data, your model will learn to predict the output on its own. Our training data gives us the parameters we need to make predictions. This is the data that our machine learns from. Test data is the data that the machine gets once you are satisfied with the model, and you see what it does out in the wild. In this data, we only have the independent variables, but no output. With test data, we can see how well our model does at predicting an outcome with new data. Your training data should account for most of your data, approximately 70%, while your test data is the remaining 30%. In order to avoid bias, make sure that the data you choose for training data and test data is totally random when you split them up. Don't choose which data to use. Let it be random. Don't use the same data for training and testing. Start by giving training data to the machine and examine the relationships between X and Y. Then try to see how well your model did. The most important question to consider during this process is whether your model will still work when it is presented with new data. You can test this by doing cross-validation. This means you will test your model on data you have not used yet. Keep some data to the side that you didn't use during training to see how accurate your model is at the end. You can also use k-fold validation to check the accuracy of your model. This method is pretty easy to use and generally unbiased. It's a good technique to use when you don't have a lot of data to work with for testing. For k-fold validation, we will break our data into k-folds, usually between 5 and 10. Test each fold and see how they performed across all the folds once you are finished with testing. The larger your number for K is, the less biased your test will be. So far, we have talked about models interpreting data to find meaning and patterns. But what kind of data are we going to use? Where will we get our data? And what is it going to look like? Data is the most critical component for machine learning. After all, your model will only learn with data, so it's important that you have data that is relevant and meaningful. It can come in many shapes and sizes, structured differently depending on the kinds of data. The more structured the data is, the easier it is to work with. Some data has very little structure, and this data is hard to interpret. Data for facial recognition can be huge and have very little meaning to the untrained eye. Structured data is more organized. This is the type of data that you will likely use when you are first starting out. It will help you get your feet wet, and you can start understanding the statistics involved in machine learning. Usually, structured data will come in a familiar form that looks something like this, in rows and columns. This is called a tabular dataset. Market value: $207,367. $148,224. $226,897. $122,265. Number of bedrooms: 4, 3, 5, 2. Number bathrooms: 3, 2, 3.5, 1.5. Square foot: 2,635. 1,800, 2,844, 1,644. Paul, yes, no. No, yes, yes, no. Recall that a feature is some measurable characteristic of a variable. In each column in a tabular dataset, we see a feature. This feature is some measurable dimension or attribute. Here we have used data reflecting the market value of a house as a function of the number of rooms, the number of bathrooms, square footage, and whether the house has a pool. Our market value is the y. This is our dependent variable. Our independent variables, or our x's, are number bedrooms, number bathrooms, square foot, and pool. In supervised learning, you will already have the y in your dataset. In this case, it's the market value of the home. With enough of this data in our model, even if we don't know the market value of a house, we should be able to predict it if we have the number of bedrooms, the number of bathrooms, square footage, and whether the house has a pool or not. Data that is organized in this way is relatively easy to work with, and have multiple independent variables like this makes this an example of the multivariate regression. How much data should you use? There is no set rule to how much data you will need for your model, but there are guidelines which you should follow. The most important thing is that when you have several independent variables to analyze, then your model will work the best if your data has as many possible combinations of the independent variables as you can get. If you can do this, your model will still work, even when it encounters a new combination of features that it hasn't seen before. It will have a pretty good way of predicting, even if the combination is completely new. A good general rule to follow is that you should have about 10 times as many respondents as we do independent variables. In the case of our market value example above, we have number bedrooms, number bathrooms, square foot, and pool. This is 4 different independent variables, which means we should have at least 40 respondents like the ones listed above to create a reliable model. Having a lot of variables can help us predict the y more accurately, but that can be costly and make your data harder to process. You must also consider how you are pooling your data. The market values of houses in Los Angeles will be much different than the market values of houses in Cleveland. It's also important to keep features as relevant as possible. Having multiple variables will help you make a better prediction, but there are variables that may just create bias in this model. Refer to scikit-learn to see what they recommend for data sizes for certain types of analysis. But not all data is useful. We often talk about big data, and it might be easy to assume that the more data we have, the better. But that's not always the case. Some data may not be helpful. Certain variables might get in the way and may make it harder to find the true answer. Preparing the data. So, now you have your data, but how do you get it to a point where it's readable by your model? Data will rarely suit our modeling needs right out of the gate. For our data to be formatted properly, it usually requires a round of data cleaning first. The process of data cleaning is often referred to as data scrubbing. We might have data that comes in the form of images or emails. We need to rewrite it so that it has numerical values that will be interpretable by our algorithms. After all, our machine learning models are algorithms or math equations. So the data needs to have numerical values for it to be modeled. You might also have pieces of data that were recorded incorrectly or in the wrong format. There may be variables that you don't need and you must get rid of. It can be tedious and time-consuming, but it's extremely important to have data that will work and can easily be read by your model. It's the least sexy part of being a data scientist. This is the part of machine learning where you will probably spend most of your time. As a data scientist, you will probably spend about 20% of your time doing data science, and the other 80% of your time making sure your data is clean and ready to be processed by your model. We may be combining multiple types of data, and we need to reformat the recordings so that they fit together. First, in the case of supervised learning, pick the variables that you think are most important for your model. If we choose irrelevant variables or variables that don't matter, we may create a bias and could make our model less effective. A simple example of cleaning or scrubbing data is recoding a response for gender. On your data, you may have a column for male, female. Unfortunately, male and female do not have a numerical value, but you can easily change this by making this a binary variable. Assign female 1 and male 0. Now you can find a numerical value for the effect that being a female has on the outcome of your model. We can also combine variables to make it simpler to interpret. Let's say you are creating a regression model that predicts a person's income based on several variables. One of the variables is the education level, which you have recorded in years. So the possible response for years of education are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. This is a lot of discrete categories. You could simplify it by creating groups. For example, you could rewrite variables 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 as primary ed, and rewrite 9, 10, 11, 12 as secondary ed, and rewrite 13, 14, 15, 16 as tertiary education. Instead of having 12 categories, you have 3. Respondents either have some primary education, secondary education, or some level of post-secondary or college-level education. This is known as binning data, and it can be a good way to clean up your data if it's used properly. When you are combining variables to make interpretation simpler, you must consider the trade-off between having streamlined data and losing some important information about relationships in the data. Consider that in this example. By combining these variables into 3 groups instead of 16, you may be creating bias in your model. You might have data that is missing. In order to fix this situation, you can replace the missing values with either the mode or the median of that variable. It's possible to remove data with missing values if there are only a few, but this just means you'll have fewer data to use in your model.